Welcome back to the show, everyone, and welcome to the first official episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. Just a little reminder, if you listen to this show on the podcast app, you don't have to resubscribe or refollow or anything like that. These episodes will continue to show up for you the way they always have. On today's episode of the podcast, I share the sort of hilarious story of the craziness that went down during the holidays for us here in our new house, on our new farm, the magic and the beauty and the craziness that unfolded as we were trying to move in and get settled. And I also share a little bit about how the beginning of the year has been, giving you some reminders that if you've had a hard, tough first week, that is okay. A lot of us have. If you haven't set your intentions yet, if you feel unclear about stuff, don't feel stressed out. You can start anytime. Whenever you are ready, you can do this inner work. Healing and beauty and everything that you want to manifest is just around the corner. Take your time. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Hello, hello, my darling friends. Welcome to 2023. Welcome back to the show. And welcome to the first official episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. Ah, I'm smiling so big just getting to share that right now. I have waited a long time to rename this show and to actually arrived to this very moment where I'm sitting right now, sharing this fresh new start for this podcast, for myself. I feel like 2023 is already sort of shaking things up a little bit. I don't know how the first week of this year has been for you. For us, it has been kind of a rough start. It's been amazing in many, many ways. Unbelievably amazing and also unbelievably challenging. And I'm going to get into all of that and how and why. But before I do, I just want to say hi and that I'm so, so deeply grateful that you are here with me today, that you are following me throughout this transition as we transition from the Yoga Girl podcast to From the Heart, which feels to me like growth, to be honest. Like a change that really needed to happen. I'm a little bit nervous about it, to be honest. Change can be scary, you know? The Yoga Girl podcast, this podcast, it's a really strong podcast. We have a beautiful community of listeners that listen every single week, no matter what. And why change a good thing that is working, right? But I really do feel like it's time for me to grow into something that feels more like who I am today versus holding on to something that feels more like who I was a couple of years ago. So thank you for being here. And I hope the holidays, I hope New Year's Eve and everything that comes with that, I hope it was deeply restful and healing for you. And as I say that, I smile a little bit because chances are it wasn't. I mean, I really hope you had a super restful holiday season and that you came out of it feeling so full in more ways than just being physically full because you ate a lot of great food. But I know for so many of us, this is a, and was a really stressful season. I also feel like I haven't had a chance to really talk to you from the heart for a couple of weeks because we had, of course, the intention setting practice was last week's episode. Before that, we had the processing practice where we processed 2022. So it's been a couple weeks since I got to just share. I love the practices. And actually this year, I feel like I had a bigger response than normal years. I don't know if it's just the energy of this time or the podcast has grown a bit. Maybe that's it. But just so many DMs and emails and comments from so many of you just really doing the practices with me where I could really, really feel this beautiful takeaway where you did the work and you sat for 2 hours, you know, at your altar in your sacred space and you did every single prompt and you really worked through 2022 and then you really worked into what you want for 2023. And it just makes me feel so happy, you know, doing those kinds of practices. That's for me, it's work in a different way than it is to sit down and record this podcast right now. Literally, I'm recording this. It's Thursday afternoon. This podcast is out on Friday. So in a couple of hours, it goes live. I had a bit of a busy day and just kind of running around, a little bit of a crazy afternoon. And then I just sit down and I turn on the recorder and I talk to you, right? This show requires no preparation on my end. But these practices that I do at the end of the year always does. It's a different kind of thing for me to record. It takes more time, takes more presence, more dedication, more preparation and planning, which is something I'm in general pretty bad at. So it just feels so good to put in that work and then see that beautiful return of so many of you loving it and seeing it really enrich your lives. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you once again. this is my first time just getting to share, you know, just from the heart of where I am right now, doing it from the farm, which feels just wild and crazy. We moved. A lot has happened. Okay, since we spoke last. We haven't spoken since before Christmas, you know, in this way. So for me, a lot has happened. We managed to move. So we moved from our cabin where we lived to the farm. It's a real farm. I haven't gotten to share so much. I've just shared kind of the inception story of how we found this place and how we ended up here and how that whole journey came to be over the past year. And now we are finally here. It was a shit show. I gotta say, it was a definitely, I don't know anyone who's ever moved, you know, to a new home where it was smooth and just easy and not a shit show. For us, because it happened right before Christmas, we could have just waited with everything and said, you know what, let's just spend Christmas at the cabin and just keep it really small, just us. And sometime next year after the holidays, when everyone's back to work and things are back to normal, then we can start renovating and doing the floors and painting and the things that we needed to do. We didn't need to do like a major overhaul. We didn't have to take down any walls. But we've repainted the entire house, all walls and ceilings. And we had to sand down and redo, like not relay, but restain, I guess you call it, the floors of the whole house. And there's different sets of flooring in different parts of the house. So the downstairs has the same kind of flooring, but it was done at two different stages, which means just the floors are different. One area is really aged and one is not as aged. So it needed different kinds of treatment. And then upstairs, we have three different kinds of flooring. So it was just this kind of meticulous, complicated thing to get to do all the floors. And I really, really wanted to do the floors before we moved in because it's one of those things you can't, I mean, everything is covered in dust. And, you know, you can't do that while having moved in. So before we got all of our furniture and things in, I wanted to have that. So we could have waited and just said, okay, hey, let's do this in a month or two. But we were just really excited, as you can imagine, about the farm, to finally get to move in, to have all this space and this beautiful house. I can't wait to tell you and show you this beautiful house. This house is, I guess, let me do some math. It's three times the size of the cabin. So it's not like a massive, crazy sized house. Like, it's a perfect sized house for us. We just had a very small little cabin where we lived for a year. So to finally have space and be able to spread out and not live on top of each other and have a proper kitchen with counter space. I mean, we were so excited about so many things. So we said, you know what? Let's just haul ass and get these floors and this paint job. Like, let's just get it done and then like move in before Christmas. So it became this very, of course, it was a little bit delayed, very hectic. At some point, I was like trying to move in one room as they finished one room at a time, which was just very stupid of me. And yeah, and of course, we needed to do a whole deep clean of the house after all the construction workers had been here. And here I was like, well, this room is like, the floor is done and the walls are done. So let me just move my office in. And I'm like trying to show up with my plants and my stuff in the middle of this construction site. And all these guys are just looking at me like, why are you here? Just like, leave. Like, let us do our jobs. Let us finish, you know? So we ended up not doing that. And then it was the 21st. So in Sweden, we celebrate Christmas. It's the 24th. We don't have a big celebration on the 25th. Christmas Eve is the center for us. Of everything, not the 25th, like in so much of the world. So the 24th is our big day. We had somehow committed to a big Christmas celebration with both sides of my family, meaning my mom and my dad. And they don't like each other. I was going to say they've never liked each other. At some point, they must have not completely detested each other because they had two kids together, right? Me and my brother. But it's very rare to see them at the same gathering. It's very rare. Like, I don't think we've had a Christmas together since we were very little. If they can avoid it, they like avoid each other. They don't fight. It's not like bad when they're in the same room. It's just not natural and easy, right? But because, you know, we were going to have the farm and we're the only ones with this big space and I love to host, so somehow it was decided like, yeah, Christmas at the farm. Like, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. It'll be okay. It was not okay. Like, it was not okay. We moved in on the 21st. So we had 21st, 22nd, 23rd. We had 3 days to get the entire house in order. And the amount of work that we got done in those 3 days, like, I look at it now, like, we would wake up in the morning and just like not eat and just haul ass, like all day, just haul ass. And because we don't have a rush to get out of the cabin, like, we still have the cabin for a while, we don't have to. It wasn't like we had to get everything packed up and moved in a day, which is really intense and hard, but also kind of a relief because when you're done, you're done. Well, we didn't have that. We were like, we're just going to bring over the essentials and what we need to live for the holiday season, and then we'll do the rest, right? Like, we'll take our time. But because we did that, like, that was also kind of not a super smart thing to do. I mean, we saved some money not hiring like movers and doing it that way. The cabin is not too far away, so we could go back and forth kind of throughout the days. But it means it's literally like, what day is it today? Like, we're a week into 2023 and we still have stuff at the cabin. Like, we haven't fully moved out of the cabin. We're not done. It's become a forever process that I'm just starting to get worried. Like it's never going to happen. Now, like, we need some sort of deadline because it's a drag. It really is. And especially now that we've kind of identified, like, this is what we need to live. But then we have the garage over there where I have my sauna, and we just have a lot of things that have accumulated like they do in a garage. And I don't really know what to do with them here yet. So I'm just kind of waiting, like, well, they can stay there for like another few days. That's okay. But then the days keep piling up and we still haven't moved. But anyway, for these 3 days leading up to Christmas, I'm pregnant, right? So I had just made the commitment, like, I'm not carrying anything super heavy. But what I did do, I carried 700,000 things that were medium heavy, which was really stupid, just really, really dumb of me. And I realized afterwards, it wasn't just the carrying medium heavy stuff. It was the picking stuff up and putting them down, picking stuff up and putting them down. Dennis would bring boxes over from the cabin. I would bring the boxes into the house and then like unpack them and put everything in its place, which just meant this like constant. And I was trying to do like this constant bending over, and I was trying to keep good posture and long spine. And I was trying to squat more than bending over. But at a certain point, like you kind of like muscle memory takes over and you just do what you do, right? Like I kind of lost that well-intentioned idea to gym squat my way through unpacking an entire house. So I started feeling on day two like my back wasn't doing super well. And not normally when I hurt my back, I have a tension in my upper mid back. That's where things tend to center for me. But this was my lower back, like typical pregnancy area, like lower back, pelvis, like that whole area. And I just felt second day like this, something is not like great, but it's okay. Like I'm not in pain. It's okay. It's just, that's just a feeling like not super. And then on the 23rd, we decided like we kind of have to call it like halfway through the day. We knew we were going to have to cook for 20 people. We had 20 people coming over. We had the beds in. We had like the most important stuff. Like we moved the dogs over, of course, the couches. Like we got the basics in. Dining table we had already. We bought it from the lady that had the house before us. So certain things like it was like okay. It was like pretty moved in. We can do this here. So we're going to have to pause, like put the rest of the move on pause and go like get Christmas ready. We hadn't finished our final Christmas shopping. Like we didn't have time. I had a lot of things to cook, and I like to cook majority of everything the day before Christmas so that it's very easy. You just take it out and heat it for Christmas Eve when everybody's there. I had a whole plan, right? And for that, that morning, I woke up in the morning walking around the house, like everyone was kind of sleeping still. I was waking up really early and it just felt like a home for the first time. We were like moved in enough that it's starting to get cozy. Like I had that first moment to myself of like, wow, like we're here. It's not just moving madness anymore, but we're here. We're doing it. And I sit down, I like set up my tea table for the first time in our new living room downstairs where I'd never had tea. We have a fireplace there. It's so cozy. I had the most beautiful tea and pulled a card for the season. Like I was just feeling so, oh, such relief. And then I bow out of the ceremony. And when it's time, like I just go to stand up. I turn around to kind of put my hand on the floor to support myself going up. And in the turn, I just hear like a little like click. I swear I could hear it. Like I could hear my lower back going, nope. And my whole body gave out. Like my whole system just went, nope. Like that's it. And it was a really bizarre thing for me because when my upper back, which is my whole life, that's been where things happen. The upper back, it's horrible when I get that pain there, but I can still manage my life. I look like a robot. I get really tense and stiff in my shoulders and my neck. And it's rare. Like it happens like once a year these days that I get that kind of pain. I used to have it all the time. Now it's like once a year I get that kind of paralyzing pain. And it's always in connection to me feeling pressure, or there's always an emotional, energetic journey there. You know, it's never just this one thing. But this was different. This is lower back pain. I never have lower back stuff. That's never really been my source of pain or struggle. Even with Leia, when I was pregnant with her, at the very end, I got this pelvic pain, which made it very hard for me to walk. And that was the very, very end, where I felt I was really heavy. She was really heavy. It was a lot for me to carry. But lower back stuff, like I've never really had that. And what it did for me, and I'm sure everyone listening, because lower back pain is so common, especially in pregnancy and after pregnancy and as we get older and just life. So you can all relate if you've had that kind of pain. I was immobile. I couldn't even like fake it. I could not ignore the signals my body was sending me, which is something I can actually do when it's my upper back. I can kind of pretend like this is fine. I'm just going to robotically move through my life. Like I would still be able to stand and walk and do stuff. It's just, it's painful and hard and horrible, but I can do it, you know. Now it was my lower back. I had to like go lie on the floor and it was so painful to get to the floor. I couldn't stand. There was no position that wasn't just excruciating agony. And I end up on the floor and I wiggle, scooch myself over to a chair and I put my calves on the chair. So I'm in this like 90-90 position, which is what I teach people to do in yoga class if you have lower back pain. And I made it there and I couldn't get back up. And this has never happened to me. Like I couldn't get off the floor. And this was the day where I was supposed to do all the Christmas cooking. I was supposed to finish all the Christmas shopping, like all the details for this gathering. And I had a big plan of what to make that day. I was going to set the table the day before, all the things I could do the day prior so we could just enjoy Christmas Eve. That really was my grand plan. None of that happened. None of that happened. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. I was very lucky because my sister, Katja, she was visiting me. She's from Latvia. Well, she's kind of from all over the place, but she lives in Holland. If you follow me on Instagram, she's my opera singing sister. I have so many sisters, but she's the one that studies at the conservatory in The Hague in the Netherlands. And she's a singer. That's what she does. And she was here visiting, which was just like a lifesaver. So I ended up on, you know, the day before Christmas, lying on the floor, yelling instructions at her for how to cook the many Swedish things that we had to make for Christmas that she has never cooked in her life. And I mean, she's young, like she's 25. She's, you know, she's going to be 25 this year. It's a different thing when you've cooked your whole life and you've cooked for a family your whole life and versus like being a student and you're cooking for one person or for yourself. And it became a family struggle, this whole thing. And I'm trying to yell instructions. He's like, I'll help you. I'll make the meatballs. And we make like Swedish meatballs. Like they're kind of famous Swedish meatballs. And for Christmas, yeah, they're a center of what we do. And I make them in a certain way, the way my grandma used to make them. And I was like lying in another room adjacent to the kitchen and I couldn't get off the floor, so I couldn't move anywhere else. And I'm like yelling at her what to do step by step. And I sent her the recipe on text and she's trying her best, but she's so meticulously trying not to mess anything up, like trying to get it right. So it's like taking a very, very, very long time. She's just slowly, slowly. And I'm lying there on the floor getting more and more frustrated. I mean, I was really grateful she was there to help me, but I was so stressed out. I just knew this is going to be a disaster. Like, we're not going to have anything ready. Everything is chaos. Nothing is working. Like, it's just madness. And I'm getting more and more frustrated. And she's taking more and more time because the more frustrated I got, the more cautious she became that she was going to do it perfectly, you know, instead of just kind of getting it together. So like 5 hours later, she's still making meatballs and I'm just like crying on the floor. Just, oh my God, like full on. Like I was just crying. Like this is just like, it's not, we're not going to have a Christmas. Like we're not, like if I can't rally and do what we have to do, like it's not going to happen. Like that's just what it is. And I took this on. It's my responsibility. I'm the host. Like, oh, you know. So at a certain point, I like drag myself to the kitchen and I start making. We make these thin breads. Oh, they're also it's like a family recipe. I don't know who passed it to my mom, but I do it the way my mom does it. And it's delicious. We use rye flour and you use kind of like it's like a syrup. It's like a syrupy tasting bread. Like sugar beet syrup. We use anise and fennel. Kefir in it. It's so delicious. Like it's so, so, so good. And it's for me, the most important part of the Christmas table of the food. It's this thin bread that it's like a flat bread, but thin. We call them thin breads. And I'm on the floor making this dough. And then I'm like half seated, like I managed to like drag myself halfway. So I'm leaning against the kitchen, like a cupboard thing that we have on the floor or the kitchen island. And I'm rolling these breads and flattening them out. And then I'm like throwing them up on the kitchen island one at a time because I couldn't reach, you know, and they're just ending up all over the place. And they were there for way too long. Like something else happened that I had to try to figure out. And then finally, like the baking soda ended up dying. Like it's just like my whole, like the yeast, the whole, the dough just died. It's not a yeasted dough, but it's like a baking soda dough. Yeah, it just died. Like they wouldn't fluff up. Like they wouldn't rise the way they normally do in the pan. And every single thing I tried to half-heartedly do became a disaster. Like nothing was really, nothing was working. And then our worst moment in all of this is like my brother shows up, like I call and I beg him, please. We didn't have a Christmas tree. That was the thing. And he had promised me for a week that he was going to go cut a Christmas tree from the property or from the forest. It's like my dad owns a part of the forest on the other side of kind of where we are. And he was going to go cut a Christmas tree down. And he promised me for a week. And every week he's like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then finally it's the day before Christmas. We don't have a tree. And I'm calling him. I'm like, you get in the car right now. You go find us a beautiful tree. And then you have to come here and help me decorate because I can't, I can need your help with stuff. You got to come over. And then he comes with his tree. And it's like, it's a beautiful tree. And I'm on the floor and he just walks in. He's like, oh, you're not doing too well, huh? And I'm like, no, like this is your Christmas too. Like, do you think you could come help out? And he walks to the kitchen and he sees my sister like struggling with the meatballs still. And he tells her, oh, Katya, you're making the meatballs. No pressure. It's just the single most important thing on the Christmas table tomorrow. So if you fuck this up, you fuck up Christmas. And she's such a sensitive soul. Like she's a Virgo. She's just a perfectionist, right? And this was just something that like it was hard. And he tells her that, like, don't fuck, like if you fuck this up, you fuck up Christmas. And she just starts bawling. And she's crying into the meatballs. They're burning. I'm on the floor throwing dough at stuff. Like my brother is like dragging this tree that's like way too big for the house through the house. Leia comes in like she hasn't had lunch. Like no one's fed her. It's just like dogs are barking, and Dennis is like lost somewhere trying to pick up a gift 2 hours away. Like it was just like the biggest shit show of all time. At a certain point, I was like, we gotta call it. Like we have to just, like we need to just like hug now. I go to my sister. I'm like, we need to just, can we just like hug it out? Like, I'm so sorry. Like this, the stress of this is just like not, this is not what Christmas is supposed to be, you know? And we like hug and we cry and we laugh. And then we're like, okay, well, fuck it. Just fuck it. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, it's Christmas Eve tomorrow. People are showing up. Like, my grandpa's coming, my mom, my other siblings, my dad, and all the siblings from his side. Like, there's a bunch of people and a bunch of grown-ups coming tomorrow. They'll help. We'll figure this out. Like, we go to bed. It's midnight at this point. And of course, yeah, of course, we had, like, gifts to wrap. And that was something that had to happen. Like, if that didn't happen, then Leia would wake up and there's no gifts under the tree. You know, there's certain things you couldn't, like I couldn't compromise on. And I'm just dragging myself through these tasks to get it done for her. All I can think is like, as long as it's good for Leia, like as long as she gets the Christmas, like then it's fine. Like I don't need the magic. Like, the magic is not going to come my way this year. And that's okay. Like we have the magic of this place and this house, and that's going to settle. Like that's our Christmas gift, you know? And I told Dennis, like, just screw the gifts. Like, just skip it. The next day, of course, we have like a very sweet morning. I couldn't get down the stairs. Like Dennis had to help me down the stairs because I'm in so much pain, just agony. But Leia is overjoyed because Santa had been there in the night and now there's so many presents under the tree. And she's, you know, she's a child on Christmas morning. Like she's so happy. We have a really sweet breakfast. We took it easy in the morning. My brother comes over and I'm like, you know what? I think it's all going to be fine, actually. And then people start showing up and I realize, well, we don't have, like, there's a lot of food that we don't have. Like, just all the things that I said yesterday, fuck it, we'll figure it out. Like, we didn't figure them out. Like, we didn't have time. There was no way. So people start coming and I'm like, I need help. Can everybody please, please, please help me? We need to cook. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I was alternating between standing. I could stand for like 10 minutes and then I would be in too much pain and I had to sit, and then I could sit for 10 minutes and then that would hurt too much. And I had to kind of, and then at some point I had to go lie down and just give up, you know, and then I would cycle through those stages just in so much pain all the time. And we're cooking and we're cooking and we're cooking. And it's like, we're 2 hours late for the food, but it was okay. Like everyone was helping and it's all going to be fine. Like the mood was really good. Everyone, like my younger brother kept saying, this is the coziest Christmas ever. Like, I'm so glad we get to have a real Christmas again. You know, we're on the farm, there's snow outside, everything is fine. We're getting hungrier and hungrier because food is so late. Like, we normally eat at 1 and now it's like pushing 3 o'clock, but it's fine. Like, it's fine. We're going to eat right at the peak, right at the peak of everything. When everything like has to come together, the electricity went out. And at this point we have like half the family are just kind of sitting in a room starving. And half the family are just hauling ass in the kitchen trying to get everything together. And electricity went out. Like, we're using the oven. We're using every single part of the stovetop. Like, we have, it's freezing outside. We have all the heaters on. Like, it's just so much electricity going. We've never lived in this house before. We don't know really how much power certain, you know, areas of the house can take. Electricity goes. And then we have this one fuse box in the house, in the laundry room. They were all fine. And we realized, okay, this is a very old house. There is one of those old school fuse boxes somewhere in one of the other houses. Like, we have 10 houses, 10 barns, or 10 structures on the property. So in one of the other nine, there is one of those old school fuse boxes with huge fuses that you're going to have to like screw out and then test one at a time. We didn't know, like, where is it? Like, does it exist? How does it work? Where is it? How do we fix it? Like, we have no idea. So Dennis, my dad, and my brother, they go outside into the snow and they're like, we're on it. We're going to figure it out. And meanwhile, we don't have potatoes. We don't have like the Christmas ham, the sausage, the meatballs. We make this Christmas kale. It's a kale, creamed kale that we make in Sweden, and a potato gratin kind of thing that we always make. Like, none of those things, all the important hot foods, were not done. And we couldn't finish them because we had no electricity. So the men like head out, like Dennis, my brother, and my dad, we're going to figure this out. And then finally like find the barn that has the fuse box. And then realize like, yeah, there's a big, like this fuse has gone. It's Christmas Eve. There are no backup fuses anywhere. So there's no one to call. It's Christmas Eve. We have no electricity in the house. The heat is going. Like, we can't finish cooking. We don't have food. Like, we don't have the food together. We have herring. Like, in Sweden, we eat a ton of pickled herring. It's amazing. It's delicious. It's one of the things I'm so happy to have back in my life since not being vegan anymore. And it's cold. So that's in the fridge, right? So it's like, okay, we know we can have something. Like, we can have cold, the cold part of the food, but the main part of the Christmas food is not done. So Dennis realizes, okay, he has to go back to our old house because that, by that cabin, there is like a similar looking fuse box in one of the garages, and maybe he can trade. I don't know. He's just like hauling ass, trying to find solutions. As he gets in the car to go, our water disappears. All of a sudden, like, I'm turning on the tap to like rinse something. It's like that there's no water on the tap. We can't flush a toilet. Like, we can't like do dishes, wash our hands. Like, there's no water in the house. There's no electricity. There's no water. It's peak moment, Christmas Eve. Everyone's here. Everyone's starving. The kids haven't had any food. Like, kids, you know, are getting cranky because we're just stuffing them full of like gingerbread cookies and stuff. Everyone's kind of like beginning to lose it. And then we lose the water. And my brother's like, okay, I'm going to go figure it out. There's got to be like the water pump somewhere. It's probably related to electricity. I'm like, where the fuck is the water pump? Like, I don't know. We've lived here for 5 minutes. Like, I don't know. He goes outside, finds the pump, and at the water pump meets a bunch of people. And he's like, hello? Like, this is like our source of water, right? So it turns out that the water pump here by our property is powered by us, like by our electricity on our property, but it connects and distributes the water to three other properties. So if our electricity goes, like if I'm cooking on too many, like I'm using the whole stove, which is apparently is too much for this old farmhouse, the water goes for all of these other families. They have no water in their house when my electricity disappears. And I'm like, what the fuck? How, like, who made this decision? Like, and why did nobody tell us? Like, we don't even know that this is a thing. So all these families, like these three other houses, are gathering at this water pump trying to find out why there's no water. Like, why doesn't the water work? And my brother's like, oh yeah, hi everyone. we've lost electricity at our house, and looks like that's the reason that this is happening. And the pressure I felt at that moment, I'm like, it's not just us anymore. Now it's like us and all these people and kids and families trying to have their Christmas, and they don't have water anymore in their house. Like, this is not acceptable. Like, we have to figure this out right now. And Ludwig, my brother, he was like, well, hopefully, like, Dennis can solve the electricity issue. And once that's solved, that just automatically starts the water again. Like, we have our own well here. And yeah, apparently they drilled one well by us and then led that to the other properties. And he's like, hopefully when the electricity comes back, it's just going to solve it and it'll be fine. And I'm like, and if it's not, he's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. Congratulations on your new farm. Welcome to farm life. like, this is reality. Like, deal with it. Like, this is your home. It's your problem now. And I'm like, shit. Like, we're so not equipped. And of course, all of this, like, I still can't walk or, you know, move normally because I'm in agony. Dennis ends up like going just barn to barn, like by our old cabin, like all these like old garages there, finds a fuse box that's from the same time era as ours, which is like from the Stone Age. And somewhere there finds a box of old fuses that he's just like praying to God are going to work in our old fuse box, brings them over, and then realizes he doesn't know which fuse has blown. Like, you can't tell. I don't know if it's just this old system, but he had to one by one. It was like 30 of them. One by one, he had to try. Does this have electricity? Yes, this one works. Does this one have? No, this one doesn't. You know, and then exchanged it. And then just like miracle, like the electricity came back. 20 minutes later, the water's back. And 20 minutes after that, or half an hour after that, we like have all the food ready. Everything is hot. Everything is put together. Not a single thing is missing from the Christmas table. We all feel like we have just like run a marathon together and won it. You know, like that feeling of just pure accomplishment was so beautiful. Like, we really had a good team spirit. No one fought the whole day, which is very rare for my family. No one had a bad vibe. No one was upset about anything aside from me being stressed and in pain. Like, we didn't have any, yeah, no bad vibes. Like, it's very strange. My family usually has a lot of bad vibes. Not bad vibes, but like we used to be married and now I hate you vibes. Or I disagree completely with your political views vibes. Or, you know, the regular stuff that most families have. Like, we didn't have any of that. Everyone was so busy being dedicated to solving all the problems that nobody fought about anything. And that's just like I realized afterwards, I'm like, maybe this whole shit show was just like the greatest blessing. Who knows what would have happened if everyone would have shown up at noon. And there I was, looking pretty in my Christmas dress, greeting everyone to a perfect table full of food, which is what I had planned. Right? Like, maybe if that would have happened, everyone would have had all this time to focus on each other and to talk to each other and to be annoyed with each other's little quirks and things that we do. And no, that didn't happen. Everyone was just very busy with many things. And finally, we like sit down. It was such a beautiful moment. Everyone sitting together. We had already like brought kids. Something that happens in Sweden, which I don't know, people across the world think it's so weird. It is weird. Every Christmas Eve at 3 p.m., the entire country, and I kid you not, like I have to look up the statistics of how, like what's the percentage of people, but the whole country, it's the single most viewed thing in the country of the year. The whole entire country sits down in front of the TV and watches Donald Duck. And this is a tradition that goes back, like, I don't know, like 60 years, maybe? Like, I'm going to pause the pod and I'm going to give you the statistics of this very weird Christmas tradition that we have. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. Okay, I looked it up. Watching Donald Duck at 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve is a Swedish tradition that started in 1960. That means it's been going for over 60 years, right? So before my mom was born, like this, everyone would gather in front of what I'm assuming was a black and white little TV to watch Donald Duck on Christmas Eve. And more than half the country watch. I don't know how many people watch like the Super Bowl and stuff, but I think proportionally it's probably the same. Like this is like the Super Bowl of Sweden is we watch Donald Duck on Christmas Eve. It's so weird. And it's the same every year. It's the same sequence. It's like little Disney snippets from different movies that we watch. And there's like a host in the beginning telling a story about Christmas and lighting the candle of Christmas. And so that happens at 3 and it's sacred. Like I have never had a Christmas Eve in my life living in Sweden or being in Sweden where at 3 o'clock, everyone hadn't already finished Christmas lunch and you're sitting on the couch drinking glögg, which is our like Swedish glee wine, eating like dessert and candy. Like we always have like the desserts and candy like together with Donald Duck. That has never not happened. And now it was past 3 and food was not even done. Like any Swedish person listening can like feel my terror here because it's just like it doesn't happen. So we had already put the kids in front of Donald. Like we had all surrendered. Like we will stream it later. Like Donald Duck doesn't even matter. Donald Duck is out the window. We'll stream it later. We like gave the kids like lukewarm meatballs and whatever other foods that we had. And we put them in front of Donald Duck. So they were fine. And then all of us adults got to sit down around this beautifully made table that I felt so proud that I actually got to put together. I had bought like really beautiful tablecloths, which I never ever like do, like real napkins and napkin rings. Like I really went all in to make it really beautiful. And we all sit down and we look at each other. And I got to do a toast, just welcoming everyone to Christmas on the farm. And what I hope is not the last Christmas gathering here, but the last one that's this insane where we have no electricity and no water. And I love you and let's fucking eat. And then we ate and it was after that, like once we sat down, it was a really beautiful celebration. Like it really was. It was very cozy. Food ended up being so delicious. I mean, we were all starving to death, but it was so, so, so delicious. Santa came, like Santa actually came to visit for the kids. And like my grandpa at the end, my grandpa's kind of funny. He's a little bit aloof. I don't know how else to explain it. He's just a funny guy. He was like, hey, thanks for the funnest and most cozy Christmas Eve I have had in maybe a decade. And he meant it. I was like, what? And he, of course, he was not partaking in any of the cooking or any of the electricity figuring out, aside from sitting on the couch, loudly proclaiming every 10 minutes or so that if he was out there, he would have solved this problem already. And like the fifth time he said that, my dad was like, why don't you go outside and solve it then? And I heard him, he's like trying to not sound like angry, you know, he's like biting his tongue, like fucking fix it. If you're so convinced you can fix it. But he had no intention of going outside. Like, I don't think, you know, Dennis was on it, but he kept saying that, like, if this was me, I would have figured it out long ago, like typical grandpa thing. And he just said he had the most fun, like the funnest Christmas and the coziest Christmas he's had in over a decade. And I was so, I don't know, it just made the whole thing like so, so worth it and so beautiful in the end. And the fact that no one fought and I got to give, I had planned a really beautiful gift for my dad where, because it's very, very, very rare that all of his kids, so all of my siblings on my dad's side, that we're all in the same country. Everyone lives in different places. Everyone's kind of all over the place. I have a sister in London, a sister who is in the Netherlands. Me and Dennis haven't, you know, I haven't been living here, so that's just never the case. And my brother used to live in LA and now he lives here. So it's just very rare that everyone is really gathered. And without him knowing, a couple days before Christmas, I brought everyone together. Dennis set up one of our barns here on the farm that was empty. So we could use it before we had moved in. And he set up this beautiful set and did the lighting and did these meticulous preparations so that he could take a family portrait of all of my dad's kids and grandkids, including little baby in the belly and Leia. So 9 of us. And my dad kept saying, well, it's 9 or 10. Like, he's convinced I have twins. I'm pregnant with twins. I think it's only one, but he's convinced it's 2. So he's like, 9 or 10 of you in this photo. And we got to give it to him on Christmas Eve. And all of us present, you know, and he cried. Like, actual real tears. It was a very, all in all, we had a lot of beautiful, heartfelt Christmas moments. And that was my Christmas. Holy shit. Yeah. So when everyone had left and my sister had a couple more days with us, and then when she'd gone back, or she went to Switzerland after she grew up partly in Switzerland, so she went there to visit her grandma, and Dennis, me, and Leia were alone for the first time. That was my first real moment of, oh my God, we live here. Because I think we were here for over a week before I got to settle in any way. It was just so intense, really overwhelming, so much work. And then like a week later, we're having our first family breakfast, just the 3 of us. Dogs finally settled. Like, it took a while for the dogs also to accept that, oh, we live here now. You know, figuring out where they want to sleep and where they want to be and how to navigate the house. And yeah, it's hard for everyone to change, to transition. And we're sitting down at the table. All the dogs are in their beds, like super content. Ringo has chosen a spot right in front of the fireplace in the kitchen. And he doesn't budge, like he doesn't move. He's so cold. He's just there. And we had candles lit and just really cozy music playing. And Dennis is making coffee and we're about to have breakfast. And I had this moment of like looking out the window where I see the fields. Up front, we have these 2 fields right up front by our entrance to the property, and the barn's kind of in the distance, and snow is falling, and I just cried. I just cried. I don't know. I feel like I have those moments a lot where something big happens, but the bigness of the moment is so big that I can't digest it. Like, I don't have the time and the space. I mean, I guess that's common whenever something big comes our way. It's like it overwhelms us, just the size of it all, the feeling of it all. And sitting there in that very like regular mundane moment, realizing, wait, we live here. Like, this is not temporary. This is not some dream I have that I want to someday manifest. But here we are around the kitchen table. There's a baby in my belly. We're on our own farm. What? And I just cried. And Dennis is like immediately worried. Like, what? Something happened. Oh my God, what's the drama now? You know, because I had so much pain and it's just been such an overwhelming week. And I'm just like, I'm just so happy. Like, I was just so happy. I'm just so happy. Like, that's just... Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that feeling, you know, for the start of the year, getting to start the year, feeling at home in a new place, having just accomplished and made a huge dream happen, a dream that I really thought was maybe a 5 or 10 year plan, somehow became a 1 year plan instead, which I'm just in awe of. I feel like I haven't caught up really to the reality of that this actually happened. And then, like, that's been my feeling just all throughout this first week, just this feeling of awe. Every box I continue to unpack, every nook of this house that I'm like, like, there's so much that we have to, of course, we still have to renovate both bathrooms. We have one bathroom that is not really usable. And before the baby comes, I definitely want to fix that one up. And there's only half the house is furnished still. We haven't been able to properly furnish the house. And we have some million things, you know, the way you have it when you've moved into a new place, not to talk about the actual land. Everything's frozen solid now and it's snow. And so we can't do much anyway, but there's infinite work here. We could spend 30 years of our lives just working the land here and we wouldn't be finished, you know, and that's the point. I think that's the point of a farm, is that this is work that becomes life if you choose to take it on. But so, yeah, so this whole first week of the year has just been me kind of wandering around the house, getting settled, nesting different parts of the, you know, nesting this corner and unpacking this box and dreaming of what I want to do everywhere. And oh, it's been really beautiful for me. And then it's got strep. Oh, I feel bad laughing. He not only does he have strep throat, he has man strep throat. And every woman listening now who has a husband, every woman listening knows what I mean. It's like the man cold version escalated. And I feel bad saying that because he has been miserable. It's been really horrible. He hasn't eaten for like 5 days. He can't swallow. And somehow me and Leia are totally fine. Like, I have no symptoms. I have tons of energy. I feel great. I have to knock on wood. Like, why did I say that? Am I jinxing it? No, but so what happens for him when he gets sick? Not only does he get like physically sick, but he gets just, it's like emotional agony. You know, he's just like suffering and the suffering is very loud. Everything is bad. Everything is wrong. He's just basically spent the whole first week of the year just like feeling really sorry for himself, complaining about everything, and everything is bad and everything is wrong. And I'm trying to make him soup and he can't swallow this soup. And why can't I swallow? Like, it's like I have two babies right now. He's much better today, thank God. He's starting to eat a little bit now. But yeah, it's been kind of a rough start in that sense, like kind of terrible, especially, I mean, much more terrible for him, but just, we haven't left the house. Like, I don't want to, you know, get anyone else what we have. Yeah, he must be over it now because it's been a long time. Like, he got it. It's a week in. Yeah, he got it the day before Christmas Eve. We didn't know what it was. He just felt low, a little tired. I thought he was just tired from the move. And then New Year's Day, this kind of flared and he's just been knocked out ever since. But that's been our our Christmas celebration, our New Year's. We had our best friends here. We obviously didn't know Dennis had strep at that time. And they got a little bit sick. But I honestly don't think, I don't know. I don't think, I feel like maybe Dennis is the only one who got it because everyone else is pretty okay. But yeah, so we had our best friends here with their kids. And Dennis was just kind of sleeping. Like, we all knew, like, he has something, but we just, okay, like, we're gonna celebrate New Year's. We're not gonna ignore New Year's because of that. Hopefully it's just a little cold. No big deal. Kind of was a big deal, but we didn't know. And 10 o'clock, we're struggling to stay awake. We made it to like 11:40, and then we're sitting on the couch drinking tea, just like counting down the minutes. Like, we were like every very tired parent at the holidays, you know? We were just sitting there counting on the minutes. 12 o'clock hits and we're like, yay, hugs, toast in our tea. Like 12:10, I think everyone went to bed. 10 past midnight, everyone's like, bye. Everyone was down. Everyone was out. It was a very... Yeah, it was very cozy, but it was very, like, I can really laugh at it now. Like, oh man, we used to rage on New Year's. Like, also the four of us, Patrick and Olivia, our best friends, and Dennis and I, like, we've had some fun in our days. Okay, we know how to party. And now here we are, like pregnant with kids, tired, just trying to stay awake, drinking tea at midnight and then going straight to bed. I think it was, yeah, a good representation of what life is right now, which is very, very beautiful in its own way. So yes, that's me. I'm really excited to show more about this sort of development of the farm. I haven't really shown a lot on social media. I haven't given a proper tour yet, and I'm going to. I just want to feel more settled first. I'd rather do a tour of the house when it's not just filled with boxes, you know? Everything is like upside down. Like I want to get pretty settled before I do a whole little tour of the house. The only room right now that is completely moved in, I think, is the kitchen and Leia's room, which is basically what matters the most, right? But yeah, I promise to show you everything. I shared on the intention setting podcast last week that I am thinking about maybe starting back my YouTube channel or using some kind of platform that isn't Instagram, just to share a little bit more about this journey, because us stepping into these roles of life on a small farm, what I'm hoping will become a homestead already in the spring, very soon. Like, we're going to get chickens in March. I'm starting beekeeping class in April, which also makes me laugh. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited to get beehives. Yeah, so many things we want to do. And I would love to share more of that really specific journey. I just have to figure out how to do it. So hopefully that's something that's coming really soon. And if you haven't heard yet, I mean, I'm sure you have, because I'm sure you listened to that podcast too, but I have that second podcast that was always called Yoga Girl Daily, which is a 5-minute daily practice that I share every day. And that also has had a name change. So it's called The Daily Practice now, which is just the most perfect name ever, because it's really what the podcast is. It's not so much Yoga Girl Daily, it's The Daily Practice. Every day of the week, I share a 5-minute little practice, inner work, healing work, meditation, gratitude practice, different things every week, or different things every day of the week. And that has also had a little upgrade. So now we have From the Heart, this podcast, and The Daily is The Daily Practice. If you listen on the podcast app, nothing changes for you. I had some questions about that. You don't have to refollow or resubscribe or anything like that. But if you haven't, and if you like me, even just a little bit, if you want to give me a 5-star review on any of the app, whatever app you listen on, that would make my life and make my day, because this is the majority of my work now, and I makes a real difference. You know, the reviews and the ratings makes a real difference when it comes to new people finding me. So next time you search for any of my pods, you don't search Yoga Girl anymore. You search From the Heart or The Daily Practice, or you just subscribe or follow the show and it will come up every single week. So once again, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed this little storytelling about Christmas Eve from hell / heaven. I don't know. I don't really know what it was. I don't know what to blame in the stars either. I just blame myself for moving in the middle of Christmas. It's clearly my own fault, my own doing. But I hope you have had a beautiful, beautiful first week of the year. And if you haven't, if you had a rough start, kind of like we had over here, if something's, you know, not feeling great, or you've been sick or something's going on, just that little reminder that you can start again anytime. You can start anew tomorrow morning, next week. You don't have to wait for the big things. You don't have to wait for Monday or for January 1st to choose to move closer toward the life of your dreams. You start when you're ready. And if you haven't done the processing practice of last year or the intention setting practice for this year, who says you have to do it right at that time? You can do it now. Do it this week. Do it whenever you have the space. Don't let this become a chore that you have to figure out and do, okay? Take your time. Be patient with yourself. Be kind. What's important is that you do this inner work, because it really, really can help us elevate our lives. I love you. I appreciate you so, so, so much. Thank you for tuning in with me today. From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.